This is Stand Up for the Truth, educating, empowering, and connecting Christians to stand on God's Word and truth.
A man who won't stand up for his own principles is not really a man at all.
Get involved by emailing comments at standupforthetruth.com.
You can't handle the truth!
Now, here's the host of Stand Up for the Truth, Mike LeMay.
Unashamed of the gospel and standing on the truth of God in the Bible. Good Wednesday morning, Mike LeMay and David Fiorazzo. Welcome to another edition of Stand Up for the Truth. We cover news. We give you opinions. We ask you to take everything you hear on the show, everything you hear everywhere, to the Word of God for truth. I'll open us in prayer and we'll get right to our first guest and introduction. Father, we thank you for your word because we know it's truth. Even, Lord, when you state things in your word that our flesh does not want to hear, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is convicting us and drawing us nearer to you. So, Lord, help us. Give us the heart to truly read and understand your word. Give us a heart for prayer, Lord, where we put aside our will and seek your will in our lives. And help us, Lord, to speak the truth in love and to share your wonderful gospel of salvation with all men so that they may have a chance to repent and turn to you. We thank you, Lord, and we love you. We praise you for this time, and may we glorify you by everything we say on this show. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, amen. In our second topic, our second segment this morning, controversy within the Southern Baptist Convention. We're going to cover a little bit of a controversy going on within the Southern Baptist Convention over the building of a Muslim mosque in New Jersey. Now, this city has not approved the building of this mosque, but the Southern Baptist Convention's International Mission Board has filed an amicus brief with the court supporting a lawsuit against the city on behalf of Muslims. One pastor has from the Southern Baptist Convention has resigned from the mission board, citing a contradiction between the board's action and its mission of spreading the gospel. We'll cover that in segment two today. First, we welcome our good friend Tina Griffin from Counter Culture Mom. We're going to talk about good role models that we can point our children to. Tina, welcome back to Stand Up for the Truth.
Hey, welcome. Thank you. How are you guys doing up there?
We're cold. How about you down in Missouri?
It actually hasn't been too bad. We had a really nasty windstorm down here about 2 weeks ago, and our really cool 14-foot trampoline landed in our backwoods a couple hundred feet from where it should have been. So it's been windy, but we're good. It's actually warming up a little bit now. No more snow.
Well, I'll take cold over wind any day. Hey, Tina, you've written some articles, and you know we talk a lot about peer pressure. We talk a lot about youth and the fact that you know all of us look up to other human beings as role models, and we know there's a lot of bad role models out there. But I know you want to spend some time this morning talking about some positive role models we might point our young daughters and sons to.
Yeah, there's actually several. I wish I could say there's a lot, but honestly, in pop culture and media today, sports, you name it, there's not a ton. But at the same time, you can definitely see the stark difference between the positive role models and the ones you want your kids to steer clear from. The bummer is a lot of these positive role models are not, they don't have a big of a platform as Katy Perry, Beyonce, and the rest from Hollywood, Jay-Z and all the rest. But they're out there, and the cool thing is, these are celebrities that a lot of kids know. So I know growing up as a kid, you're trying to find a positive role model. Your parents suggest, hey, why don't you check out this celebrity, that celebrity? Well, the problem is some of these people aren't that well known, and the kids are like, we want to follow somebody that my friends actually know about, and they want people that are in, hip, cool, and well known. So I did some research, came up with a really cool list of role models that our young kids can follow that come from all different backgrounds, not just actors and actresses. One of the top people that I really have looked up to over the years is Tim Tebow.
Yes.
He's just awesome. He played in the NFL for years. Now he's a baseball player for the New York Mets. I love that he had John 3:16 all over his face when he's on the football field. He's kneeling on the sidelines. It reminds me a lot of Reggie White when I was a kid watching him pray with all the Green Bay Packers mm-hmm. around him. It just was awesome.
Well, plus all the work he does for orphans in the Philippines, and he's got a foundation. He's built hospitals. He does a lot of work for the disabled, the handicapped, those with Down syndrome. He holds I think some kind of a prom, and he just does so much wonderful work for people, not only in need, but just speaking out on behalf of Christians. He shows love. He's not afraid to live out his faith and talk about God, and people put him down all the time, but he just keeps going.
He keeps going, and God keeps opening the door. It's like he gave him this platform. He shares about saving sex until marriage, which I think is so awesome. Young people need to see that. And he's a good-looking guy, and he's talented, and God is honoring that and blessing him because of that. And I think that young kids seeing that, they're like, hey, wait, I can be a strong Christian kid and do the right thing, and God is going to bless me because look what happened to Tim. So he's awesome. I really, really respect the guy. He also won a Heisman Trophy back in 2007. Not that he does it to get the trophies, but he just is getting attention. And you and I know that good media, or any kind of media, is good media, even if it might be a blast against you, you're getting the word out.
Well, and let me just pause there for a second, because I loved watching college football. I remember Tim Tebow as quarterback of the Florida Gators. As you mentioned, he brought them to a national championship and won the Heisman Trophy. But even this day, as he's pursuing a new career with the New York Mets in baseball, I love watching secular sports talk and how uncomfortable Tim Tebow makes them. And I mean, they can't grapple with this, and they just seem to be unsettled over the fact that this man blatantly lives and wears his faith on his sleeve.
I love that. I love when people squirm because they can't deny what they obviously see is there's more to life from some other source. And I pray that Tim will start bringing these people to realize that Christ does exist and he's alive and real. So I know what you're talking about. I absolutely love it. It's the same thing when different stations cover different celebrities, like other celebrities I'm going to talk about here in a minute. Same deal. It's like when they cover a certain band, even though you can tell they don't even want to cover it, but they do. It's hilarious how God's like, you know what? This door is going to open whether you like it or not. And we've seen a lot of that lately, so it's been pretty cool.
And Tina, before you go on, and I know you've got Sadie Robertson on your list, which I'm thumbs up. I mean, if I had 10 thumbs, I'd give you 10 thumbs up for that one. And I want you to talk a little bit about her in a minute. But I do want to encourage us, I mean, I'm speaking to the choir here, but what Tebow does too, I mean, there's stories about him praying for someone who passed out in an airplane, praying for a fan that had some sort of, I think, an epileptic seizure or something at one of his baseball practices down in, I think it was Arizona. And, you know, that makes a little bit of a story here and there, but he does what Christians should do naturally. But we look at him and go, wow, that's bold. No, that's just being a Christian and obeying the gospel and being led by the Holy Spirit to love others enough to reach out and pray for someone. Who cares if you don't know them? So he's done a lot of things where I just go, man, Lord, increase my faith. And of course, I'm trying to follow Jesus. But also, having someone like Tim Tebow and others as a role model, I mean, that helps us. It encourages us to live the way we're supposed to be living for Christ.
I couldn't agree more, and I know that there's scripture that talks about something to the effect of give to people without knowing what the other hand is doing to not announce it. And I always thought about Oprah Winfrey. She's constantly announcing the millions she gave here, there, everywhere. But I have to just share a quick little story of what happened 2 weeks ago that my husband did, just to let the listeners know, and I'm sure there's many out there that are listening today that do this. I just encourage you to keep doing this. But we don't have to be a celebrity in order to be able to give $2 million away or help people when all the cameras are on us, which I think Tim is awesome for showing the example. But you're right, we each can do this. My husband got a flat tire coming back from an appointment he had in Springfield, about an hour away, went to the tire shop that was the closest to him, met a lady in there. She's like 60 years old. She was pretty much not bawling at the counter, but he texted me. He goes, something's wrong with this lady. She has to get tires. She has no money. She pulled out $40 from her wallet, and that one tire alone was like $60, so she paid for two worn-out tires, he said, that would only have lasted another couple of weeks. So he's like, are you okay if I just get her four brand-new tires? I said, what's the damage? And he gave me the quote. Okay, it's a little bit of a chunk. I said, what is God telling you to do? He said, he's telling me, without a doubt, get her tires. I said, get her tires. He gets her tires. She's just like in awe, and he shares the gospel with her and says, Jesus just wanted me to know the second I saw you at the counter that you are loved by him. And I got chills when I heard the story when he talked to me about it. He goes, I'm so pumped up. And he had passed a security test an hour before for his job, that was that he studied for weeks. But what made his day was to talk to that lady about the Lord and help her in some way. And I just want to encourage listeners, you can do this every single day to other people. And yes, people we don't know. Yes, strangers on a bus. Yes, strangers at the store. Pay for the person's food behind you in a grocery store line. Pay for the food behind you in a drive-through thing, in a drive-through meal place. Because I'm telling you, that is when God opens the door to have you meet other people and to be able to give financially, but also give with his truth and let them know that they are loved and invite them to church. I mean, it opens the door. So we don't have to be a celebrity to do that. And life is so awesome when we do those types of things. Those are the memories we always look back on and remember. It's like, what can I do to help more people?
Amen.
So amen. Tina, let's talk. One of the celebrities you speak very highly of is Sadie Robertson. What about her makes her a good role model for particularly our young girls to look up to?
Everything about her. I wish I was 20 years younger to live my life again. I look at her and what she does and where she is. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want those years back again. To grasp onto living fully for the Lord as a teenager is phenomenal because you... there's nothing holding you back. You can go anywhere. You can do anything. She dresses modestly. Mm-hmm. She carries herself with amazing character and high self-esteem. Not like, look at me and has a big ego. It's, I love the Lord, and you can tell by listening to her and looking at her that she's got Jesus on the inside. And she is now currently on tour speaking in 45 cities in 2017 for Winter Jam, and we plan on taking our kids to go see her and hear her speak and also listen to a bunch of bands. Colton Dixon's going to be there, but they have 45 cities around the country. She's going to be speaking there. I highly suggest any mom, dad, take your kids to go to Winter Jam. It's $10 per kid at the door. That's nothing. And you have a great night of a couple hours of solid Christian entertainment where I want to encourage my kids that, hey, do you want to play guitar in a band someday? Do you want to be a speaker someday? Do you want to share the gospel in this manner? Here's an option. And Sadie is on tour doing that. God's opening the doors for her with that. She was on ABC's Dancing with the Stars, dancing modestly with beautiful gowns. She just really stuck out because she was living out and portraying what she believed on the inside. So she's a great role model for every single girl.
Yes, she is. And while we're talking about role models, Christian or not, we know that not anyone is perfect, and role models can still fall. Something could happen. Tim Tebow may make a wrong decision. Sadie Robertson could make a wrong decision. So we're saying that, but we are pointing these people out saying, yes, especially for young people, especially for young women who get the exact opposite messages in public schools, the media, from Hollywood, about how they should act, dress, and their worldview, what they should think. But here's Sadie Robertson, mature beyond her years, and truly exemplifies what a biblical Christian should live like. But Tina, I want to ask you, what does that say about her parents?
Her parents definitely did the right thing. She obviously learned from them how to carry herself with class, live the modest lifestyle, love the Lord with all her heart, go to God first if she has any issues. It all comes, and with her prayer, it all comes from the parents. And I think that's why there's such a breakdown in our young people having a huge purpose and vision and value, and that their identity comes in Christ because of a lack of parents physically in the home. With, of course, single-parent families, parents in prison, I mean, the list goes on, or passed away, suicide, all these issues. And then also the emotional, two parents working nonstop, but they don't spend enough time with their kids, even though they're both still married together, just not a lot of time spent with their kids. And getting them grounded and reading scripture to them daily, getting them involved with Awana, and just being the example. I mean, when Luke and I got married, I'll tell you right now, we flunked the first couple years of our marriage on how we could have been as really good godly parents with our kids. We were clueless. We were exhausted. We were frustrated. Luke and I got married later in life, so we had our certain stubborn ways of how we do life, and we love each other to pieces. But now, 10 years later, it'll be 10 years now in June, and he told me last week, Tina, I finally think that we're getting a grasp on what we should have been like a decade ago. And I just want to encourage parents out there, it's never too late to say, you know what, I've messed up in the past. I let swear words fly. I'm short with my kids. I'm impatient. We don't go to church as a family like we should. I don't spend enough time with my kids. I don't encourage them enough. I don't help them develop their talents and gifts like I should. It's never too late to pick up scripture and ask God, how can we be amazing godly parents for our kids, no matter what age our kids are? They could be 30 and you can still make a difference. Can I quickly rattle off a couple books that have helped Luke and I over the years with raising kids in a godly environment?
Absolutely, Tina.
One of the first books I got when we got married was from Focus on the Family. I love that organization of pieces. Mm-hmm. They sent me the book, The First 5 Years of Marriage. We're still reading it, and we're 10 years in. It's an excellent book. It talks about finances. It talks about discipline with the kids. It talks about having good, godly conversations if we don't agree on a certain topic. It's awesome. The next book is Love and Logic, Magic for Early Childhood. It is by Jim Fay and Charles Fay. My husband can't put it down. He keeps highlighting, like, pretty much every paragraph in this book. It's practical parenting tips from birth to 6 years of age. And that's what we're still reading it because we have 2 kids that are 5 and 3 yet, and then we have an 8-year-old, 6-year-old. But this is great tips on how to discipline our kids in a godly manner, because I think a lot of parents today want to be best friends. Or don't take the time they need to because it's hard work. But if you discipline kids in the right way, and we're learning as we do this, we notice our kids listen better. They want to do the right thing. They talk about God more. They're reading scripture on their own. And I'm talking, my oldest 2 kids are opening their Bible and taking it to church with them. Like, and they're 6 and 8. It's so awesome to see that.
Oh, that's excellent. Tina, I would my lovely bride Nancy would be disappointed if I didn't mention the next person on your list, because Nancy's a huge golf fan. Golfer Jordan Spieth, who was Golfer of the Year in 2015. Why do you point to him as a role model for our young people?
Well, I totally don't know much about golf, but I had to put him in because his story just blows me away. He had parents that encouraged him. Christian kid, loves the Lord. He doesn't talk about it as much as Tim Tebow. He doesn't like wear it on his face with marker, but this guy, it was listed as Time Magazine listed him as 100 most influential people, noting that he exemplifies everything that's great about sports. He's classy. He carries himself with great words and actions when he's on the golf course. The biggest thing that really stood out and why I think he's awesome is that his parents at a young age encouraged him to start picking up the golf club. He's like, I want to golf, want to golf. And the kid was barely walking. He was like 2 years old. And you can find pictures on the internet. It's hilarious if you Google search his younger years. He just was focused and determined, didn't get in with the wrong crowd as a kid with the bad influences of other children. He stood up for what he wanted to do. He was the leader, and he started practicing swinging that club at the age of 2, where look where it's got him. He put 20 years in to develop his craft, and now he's an amazing golfer. And it's kind of like Michael Jordan. It's the same story with him growing up as a kid. He has so many stories he shared where he started playing basketball at 3-4 years old, starting to learn how to dribble and play on the court instead of getting mixed up with the wrong crowds. And I think that's so key for parents today to look at our young kids and say, what are they good at? What do they really like to talk about or keep asking to go do? And then let them develop and gravitate towards that. It's kind of like the freedom I have with homeschooling is, yes, I homeschool, get the academics down, but then Jake really wants to play piano. Well, then I help him learn how to play piano. And Levi's totally into science stuff. Well, we get him a science kit and let him dig around in the backyard, because we never know where that's going to lead. He also might be a clown. Who knows? He's constant clowning around. What that might lead to later in life. So Jordan's a prime example of help instill the talents and develop those talents in your kids when they're young, and they could be easily a Jordan Spieth when they're 22, 23 years old.
Next, one of my favorite recent Christian artists in the last 3 to 5 years has been Lauren Daigle. And, of course, we've heard her music here, play a lot of it on Q90 FM. Tell us about her.
She's awesome. I'm just being introduced to her. I have just started listening to her because a friend of mine, we do a mastermind phone call weekly with 5 other women around the country just to develop our ministries. And she, her son Max, her name is Mona Corwin. Her son Max is the lead guitarist for Lauren. And so she's like, you got to listen to her music. It's awesome. And it is. And she was just on Good Morning America at the middle part of January, I believe, or right after Christmas, just within the last month. And God is opening those doors, too, for her to use her talents to glorify God. Young people are realizing this is a young woman that's got her eyes focused on the Lord. Mm. She's got the New Artist of the Year at the 2015 GMA Dub Awards, and How Can It Be album was nominated for a 2016 Grammy Award for Best Contemporary Christian Music Album. Mm. And so she is getting out there. She has a great voice, a great message with her music, and she's fully clothed while on stage. So she's like a win-win in my book.
Bonus when you're a Christian artist fully clothed and modestly dressed.
There's still some left, Mike. There's still some left.
How about that? Hey, last a couple on your group here is Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Yes.
Talk to us about them.
Fixer Upper.
Okay. I want to meet this couple so bad. It's like when Home Makeover Show was on a couple of years ago, I would constantly talk about it when I go out and speak at these different events. I'd make fun of my husband a little bit, and he doesn't mind. But we'd watch these homes go from I don't even know what to call it, a shack to an amazing place to live. And that's not to be ritzy or fancy or super expensive, but just using what you have. And Luke would be bawling within the first couple of minutes because you have these stories of these families that really need help and people reach out. So to have a show like this, Fixer Upper, with this couple on HGTV, if you haven't seen the show, listeners, you got to check it out. These guys are hilarious. Chip is like my husband, constantly cracking jokes. I could tell you tons of different clips, but basically if Joanna needs some funding for something and something's not going right, Chip will call her from the next room over and say, hey, we just have another $20,000 expense. And she's like, who is this? She goes, your husband from the next room over. They just add a lot of comedy, but in the end, everything always works out. And there was a recent episode they did for a veteran that lived in their town in Texas. They live in the same house since like the 1940s or 50s. Yeah. It was falling apart, and what this couple did, and they got the... Did you watch that episode?
Yes, I did.
Okay, they got... What football player came and helped them out with his ministry?
RG3, Robert Griffin III. He used to quarterback for the Washington Redskins, now with the Browns, and he's a very strong believer, from what I understand. And he helped them out. That was a neat episode.
It was a neat episode, and there's another role model I can add to the list. So they're all around us. TV is showing these amazing people and what they're doing. And you know what? These are the shows, these are the celebrities that actually bring in the most viewership. We just need Hollywood to get a glimpse of, give the people what they want. They want more Chip and Joanna Gaines on Fixer Upper. So they are major role models. The cool thing about their story, I just told Luke, we were talking in the office here a couple nights ago, I'm like, Luke, I feel like you and I are a Chip and Joanna Gaines in the pop culture realm because Luke is so supportive of what I do, and Joanna says in her bio on her website, I would never be doing what I'm doing today on this TV show, raising a bunch of Mikey. I think she has four kids as well, all almost the same ages as ours, has Magnolia Market, a really cool store. She goes, I'd never be able to do it without Chip totally backing me up and being that support for what I do. So... And she never thought she'd be where she's at. And this was only a couple years ago. So God can do amazing things in such a short period of time. If we just live for him, do what he's telling us to do, the doors will open.
And they are great examples of Christian love and humility. And I really encourage you guys, if you haven't checked out that program. But you mentioned that you don't know, I don't know how you put it, why Hollywood doesn't get the message. It's been proven in the last decade or two that messages that are put out that are family-oriented in movies and in television, even pro-life messages, but messages that are family-oriented, do much better at the box office. But, Tina, I really don't believe Hollywood wants to get the message. And one show I'll point to, the brand-new show on Fox called The Mick. It's a very unfamily, unfriendly TV show, which I hope you, anyone out there, is not watching or allowing your kids to watch. Do you want to briefly comment on that?
Yeah, The Mick was just talked about. There's a lot of info on my website. I actually did a top three culture alerts of the week. I'll get the exact episode here in a second, but if parents want to watch that on my YouTube channel, just go to counterculturemom.com and click on the YouTube logo in the upper right corner. I just put that in a clip, which is January 20th is the episode you want to check out with that. It's wild. There is a 7-year-old boy in there that is dressed like a girl. I don't even know if I can say the word. Basically, he refers to his private parts being women private parts throughout many different episodes. The lead mom is an alcoholic. She adopted these kids in because her sister, I believe, passed away. And she uses, there's a lot of vulgar language. One of the kids in the show has a girl, has a guy come over. They're having sex upstairs. The mom is laughing about it. It's just a show that you don't want to watch. And the thing that I'm hoping and praying for is now with this election and God is moving in our country, people will start saying, you know what, I really want to live for God. And I'm not going to watch shows that are destroying my family, giving me messages that I don't want in my head, and even making them money, because the advertisers make money. So if we don't watch those shows, advertisers pull their commercials from the air, and that show goes off the air. And American Family Association just also came out with an article, too, of what we can do to make a difference.
Yes.
I have a link on my blog that goes to that.
Also,
I agree.
Also, Parents Television Council, like you said, AFA, there are a lot of good organizations. Movie Guide has been at it for years. Plugged In Online has been at it for years. I don't know that we're making a dent, but at least they are trying to encourage the positive programming, the family-friendly programming and stuff that is just not offensive and goes directly against the Christian worldview.
Hmm. I agree. And I think the biggest thing the parents can do is, because we are trying to make ends meet, a lot of parents are working hard. It's not as though they're, you know, goof around going bowling and letting their kids just raise themselves in the homes. Some situations are like that, but most are not. I think what we really want to do, and what my goal as Counterculture Mom is, to raise up Counterculture Moms and Dads to have a counterculture revolution in 2017 and beyond. And it's starting to gain steam because parents, if we're just aware of what shows are out there, there are different parental controls for our video games, for our TV shows that we watch, and we can help our kids realize why we don't want them watching it and let them see for themselves, compare scripture to what culture is pumping out, so then kids can be like, I don't want to watch this. Like my 8-year-old son, Jake, I don't know if he got some movies from friends through whatever, like if we do go out and play dates and stuff. He was watching something one time. He's like, this isn't ours, Mom, and what I'm watching isn't good, and I'll view it. I'm like, you're right. Good job, dude. And I would throw it out. So we can raise some counterculture kids in the process if we just know what's currently out there for film and TV and make wise decisions and just be on the lookout. And that's why I love pumping out these videos weekly, because parents don't have a lot of time to do the research. So check out the website, check out the videos, and I'll keep you guys updated with what to watch out for and what the good options are as well.
Excellent. And again, that website is counterculturemom.com. Tina, thanks for taking the time. We look forward to talking to you next month.
Thanks a lot. And they can just text the word Warriors to 44222, and I'll make sure they get all the alerts once a week.
Excellent.
Thanks, Tina.
Warriors,
God bless you.
At 44222. Thank you, Tina.
Yep, thank you. Keep the great work going on, you guys. You're getting the word out there.
Thank you. We appreciate it. When we come back, controversy within the Southern Baptist Convention's International Mission Board.
If you want to contact us about any of the topics discussed today, email your questions to comments@standupforthetruth.com. You can also call your questions in on the Q lines, 1-800-979-9010 nationwide. Stand Up for the Truth. We'll continue in a moment. This is Stand Up for the Truth. Call in your questions now at 1-800-979-9010 nationwide. Now back to Mike LeMay.
Just to remember, you can reminder, you can also text TRUTH to 797979. And we'll read your question or your comment on air. Religious freedom is a hot topic these days, but I tell you what, religious freedom is not an easy thing. Our Constitution guarantees that the government shall make no law infringing upon the practice of religion, nor shall it mandate a national religion. And of course, we as Christians, we're glad that we have that Constitution. But it doesn't just protect Christians. It protects whatever faith you want to believe in, as long as your laws or your bylaws don't violate the U.S. Constitution. Well, interesting, in New Jersey, a group of Muslims wanted to build a mosque, and the city rejected their appeal, and they're suing. And it's causing ripples within the Southern Baptist Convention's International Mission Board, and I want to read the story we got from One News Now. A Tennessee pastor says he was blindsided by a Southern Baptist agency involvement in a friend-of-the-court brief supporting the building of a mosque in New Jersey. Pastor Dean Juan of First Baptist Church in Morristown stepped down from his position with the Southern Baptist Convention's International Mission Board last November after 6 years of service because he had felt they had come to an impasse. He told Baptist Press it was, quote, one of the most heart-wrenching decisions, end quote, he has ever had to make. Now, he explains that in June 2016, that the Southern Baptist Convention's International Mission Board, along with the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, signed a friend of the court called an amicus brief supporting the Islamic Society of Basking Ridge, New Jersey, in building its mosque that it, and it had been turned down by the city. So let me just frame this up for you a minute. They wanted to build a mosque in New Jersey. The city said no. Now, I don't know why the city said no. Well, I'm going to do a little investigation here. And the Muslim people are suing the government for a right to build a mosque, which is their right as American citizens. But the problem that Pastor Juan has is, why is the Southern Baptist Convention's International Mission Board suing on behalf of Muslims to build a mosque? And here's where he kind of just he has a conflict over this whole thing. He said, quote, I told them that I understood the religious liberty implications, and we all want religious liberty, but that I really felt it was an unholy alliance between light and darkness. That scripture in 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 15 forbids us to do, he said. In fact, the pastor argues the brief supports Muslims in an effort to construct a house of false worship. He wonders what this action has to do with the International Missions Board's mission of reaching the world for Christ. Quote, if you read our mission and purpose statement on one side, and then what we did on signing this brief, it just doesn't make any sense because it has nothing to do with our mission and purpose. Juan's stance may have had some impact. David Platt, the International Mission Board president for the Southern Baptist Convention, has since released a statement revising the board's process for submitting friend of the court briefs. Quote, as a result of discussions among IMB trustees and staff over recent months, we have revised our processes for our legal department filing any future amicus briefs. IMB leaders are committed in the days ahead to speak only into situations that are directly tied to our mission. So good. One of the things that really got this pastor upset, let's talk about Russell Moore, the head of the Southern Baptist Convention. When the United Nations passed the resolution condemning Israeli settlements and de facto giving Jerusalem to Hamas, the Southern Baptist Conference didn't say anything about that. Nothing. Not a peep. And this pastor's like, wait a minute. We had a chance. Why are we worried about joining a legal fight to build a mosque when we didn't speak out against what President Obama did by abstaining against that vote in the nation of Israel? So, Dave, I would be curious as to your thoughts. You know, this we believe in religious freedom. You know, we believe people should be able to worship the way they worship. But I, when a Christian organization legally sides with Muslims to build a mosque, which is Islam is the religion of Antichrist, according to 1 John 4, I mean, I understand Pastor Juan's problem here.
I think we have a dilemma. Living in a free country, as blessed as we are to have the freedoms, to have the Constitution that we do, and all the amendments that go with that, we are so blessed. But at the same time, I think of this verse, I believe it's in Ephesians, where Paul says, do not give the enemy a foothold. Don't give the devil a foothold. I believe the one of the root words for that is topography. So really, he's saying, don't give the enemy any ground. And so when we give the enemy a little foothold or loophole to get in, that's why, and I'm amazed, our founding fathers, I want to give them credit for everything they established built on Judeo-Christian principles, but at the same time, they went 99% of the way, didn't go 100% of the way to close the door to anti-Christian beliefs, worldviews, religions to be expressed. That doesn't mean that I would have wanted them to force Christianity on people, so don't misunderstand. I'm not talking about theocracy. And I don't mean that I would want them to squelch free speech. However, when it comes to the protection of the 501c3 nonprofits, I mean, Wicca, the religion of Wicca has a nonprofit. They are in public schools teaching kids. It goes back to Harry Potter and all this other stuff about witchcraft. So Wicca is, according to them, a religion protected by our Constitution. So, and of course, now we're talking about Islam, an Antichrist religion, an Antichrist spirit being protected in America. Mm-hmm. And if you look at our foundings, there's something that contradicts what our founders intended with what we are allowing in so many parts in our, of our society today.
There really is, Dave. And again, I when you really study the founding fathers, what their beliefs were, how the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Federalist Papers, all of our founding documents were formed, it is very, very clear that the intent was to present a Judeo-Christian set of principles and values in mm-hmm. our nation. Many of our founding fathers basically said, without God, this democratic republic could never stand.
It's not going to work.
We're totally dependent upon God for our freedoms and our rights. And, you know, these stories of religious freedom are always intriguing to me. And, you know, I like to reverse questions. Mm-hmm. So here is my question for the Southern Baptist Convention International Mission Board. If this was a predominantly Muslim nation, would the Muslims support the religious freedom of Christians to build a Christian church? The answer is no.
Absolutely
and
not.
I think the reason, and I want to say this carefully, and I've only met a handful of Muslims, but I think overall Muslims are more serious about their faith than many professing Christians are.
Mm-hmm.
They follow the Quran closer than we follow the Bible. Now, we know the Bible is the inerrant, inspired word of God. Hmm. The Quran is not. It isn't. It is totally contradictory to the Bible. Yet Muslims, as a whole to me, and Elijah said the same thing, Elijah Abraham, seem to take their faith more seriously than many professing Christians do. And we talked yesterday about people like Jim Wallis and Nancy Pelosi, who selectively use scripture when it meets their definition of righteousness and deny scripture when it contradicts what they want to
say.
Well,
yes, but let's be clear. They take their faith very seriously, but it's the faith of liberalism. It is the religion of liberalism which trumps their any kind of views on the Bible or Christianity. So that's what they answer to. The left answers to liberalism. But I wanted to say one thing about others who take their faith seriously. Look at Jehovah's Witnesses. Look at Mormons. They go door to door, oftentimes as part mm-hmm. of their mission. Now, I've never gone door to door to share the gospel, to share my faith with people. I've gone to meet neighbors and things like that, but I've never purposely gone with Bible tracts or anything door to door. Is it wrong to do that? Well, these other religions are doing mm-hmm. that. We have freedom in this country to do that. And if you go back to the early church, they went from house to house. They met from house to house. They had their Bible studies, their meetings. They preached the word, made disciples, and they essentially went door to door. So it's very interesting that the Antichrist religions are going door to door, but Christians, we're not going door to door. And here we have Muslims that are coming out and they're building mosques all over America, and because of the religious freedoms we have enjoyed, we're saying, yeah, they can do that. It's very, very interesting. This is building, Mike, into something. I don't know what is going to happen, but it's building into something. But this article, I like the word unholy alliance because I think that's what it is.
I read this article five times yesterday and today, and I kept thinking, okay, what's the biblical response to this? And I'm just going to give you my two cents. I think the Southern Baptist Convention's International Mission Board is wrong and being hypocritical. Had they said nothing, I think the thing to do would have been to say nothing. Don't file an amicus brief on behalf of Islam. Just do nothing. And if a mosque turns up in your community, look at it as an opportunity to share the gospel with people who don't believe in Jesus Christ. The thing I cannot get over here is that the Southern Baptist Convention files an amicus brief for a Muslim mosque and yet will not make a statement against what the United States abstained against in the United Nations resolution mm-hmm. condemning Israel. And I don't know, is it anti-Semitism? Is it, well, we just want to get along, we want to be seen as peace-loving people? I don't know. But I just think the Southern Baptist Convention here did something that was not wise and something that was not biblical. But it's their convention, and I guess they can do what they want.
If David Platt was not the International Missions Board president, I would probably say there's a hint of political correctness there based on the brief that they filed. So they, meaning they are like the media and like government, really they're open to Islam, and they're what's the word, coddling? I'm not sure word is. But when it comes to Israel, they don't even bat an eye or don't even make a statement. But I respect David Platt. I would like to know more about what he personally believes about this and maybe what they're going to do next. But yeah, you're right, Mike, to not make a statement on something so blatant that was against Israel, but yet, you know, mosque, yeah, they go ahead.
Yeah. And you know what?
It's a head scratcher.
I just want to echo what you said. When I've listened to David Platt preach, mm-hmm. I've liked what he's taught. Mm-hmm. And I remember when he was appointed as the head of the Southern Baptist Convention's International Mission Board, I heard him several times say this: I believe we should help the poorest people in the world, but you can feed them. But if you feed them without the gospel, you're not really feeding them. So Platt has always publicly stated that the gospel is the reason we help poor people, which I agree with, to give them eternal hope in Jesus Christ. So I've enjoyed Platt's teachings. I do scratch my head over this one and just say, David, what were you thinking? You're the head of the International Mission Board. Mm-hmm. And maybe Platt didn't want to do it and he was overruled. I don't know. So I'm not condemning David Platt. I just don't think it was a very wise thing for the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention to mm-hmm. do. So, but hey, what do you think about it? We'd love to hear from you. Again, you can email us at comments@standupforthetruth.com or text TRUTH to 797979. When we come back, one of the things Donald Trump said he would consider doing when he was elected president was ending the Johnson Amendment, and we've got a pastor who weighed in on that when we return.
If you want to contact us about any of the topics discussed today, email your questions to comments@standupforthetruth.com. You can also call your questions in on the Q lines, 1-800-979-9010 nationwide. Stand Up for the Truth will continue in a moment. If you want more info on the topics of today's show, then visit standupforthetruth.com. Now, back to Mike LeMay.
I just got a call from Travis, and a correction I got to make in the last article. I referred to Russell Moore as the head of the Southern Baptist Convention. No, he's actually a head of one of the divisions of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, it says here.
Excellent. So thank you, Travis, for that correction. I appreciate it. Boy, you know what? That's the second mistake I've made, and it's only February 1st, so I've only got one left to go for the rest of the year. Thank you, Travis, for that clarification. Appreciate it, brother.
And Mike, I would like to say something too. We got an email yesterday or a phone call that I want to thank. If this woman is listening, she was a Catholic and she heard what we were saying about Nancy Pelosi taking her faith seriously.
Yeah.
And she said, as we always or often point out, the progressive quote Christians do the same thing, and they are being hypocritical. But yesterday we were pretty hard on Nancy Pelosi because she was obviously thrown out a double standard. We call it hypocrisy, in saying she believes in a certain thing about the Bible but doesn't believe in the right to life, doesn't believe in marriage between one man and one woman, and so on. So we were, you know, pretty hard on her, and we should be when people are claiming to believe something biblical, which Catholics believe the Bible. So I just want to say we often talk about progressives and left, the Christian left, which is an oxymoron, mm-hmm. but when something comes up regarding the Pope or Catholicism, we are going to address it because it is deceiving people and leading them astray.
And as she pointed out, it was a very nice call. I got an email from her that this is not just Catholics. This is evangelicals, mm-hmm. Lutherans, Baptists, you name it.
Yep.
There's false teaching in every denomination here. And yeah, we're going to continue to point it out. And as always, we're going to point you to the Word of God because we have our opinions, but God is eternal truth, and He gives us all the answers. So President-elect Trump has said, you know what, we got to take a look at this Johnson Amendment, and he really thinks it's squelching and it's unconstitutional. Well, Dave, a pastor has weighed in on it. Why don't we share that story?
Sure, and I encourage you, if you haven't heard about this, I'm amazed if you haven't, but go to standupforthetruth.com, and in the search, type in Johnson Amendment. The Johnson Amendment. Go to standupforthetruth.com, or you can Google it, and our site will probably come up as one of them. But the leader of Pastors Network is hopeful that President Donald Trump will follow through on a campaign promise that restricts free speech in the pulpit. the Johnson Amendment, and Trump said, I will repeal the Johnson Amendment. So the Sam Rohrer, president of American Pastors Network, says hopefully Trump will stay committed to peeling back the Johnson Amendment. It was proposed by then-Senator Lyndon B. Johnson, a very liberal Democrat, to punish a church group, or there are actually a couple different groups coming against him at the time, that opposed him, and it was passed by Congress without any review, legislative hearings, nothing, just slipped into a big amendment bill in the tax code back in 1954. Rohrer says the amendment, which limits the political involvement of a tax-exempt organization, has been used to threaten pastors to remain silent on social, cultural, and political issues. But he says the law has no such power. And I'm glad, Mike, that he said that. Quote, that is the amazing thing of how an amendment there has, it has been so blown out of proportion and in some respects used as a weapon by the enemies of truth to intimidate those who are in the pulpit. But unfortunately, many in the pulpit, I believe, sadly, have hidden under the Johnson Amendment. And he says the amendment is more a threat than reality. And it, end quote, and it will not be acceptable before God to say, we had an amendment called the Johnson Amendment in America, and I couldn't therefore preach about the issues the Bible talked about. No, that won't hold water before God, and that doesn't hold water in reality. And it would be a good thing to repeal the amendment, he insists, so the enemies of freedom will no longer be able to use it as a threat. And, Mike, they've used it as a battering ram. But it is, I love his quote there. You won't be able to stand before God and say, well, Lord, we couldn't talk about morality because it was under the guise of political or social issues. The Johnson Amendment, my goodness.
And we'd lose our tax-exempt status if we'd...
And that's not true. Yeah. It's not true. But out of fear or out of ignorance, religious leaders across the country since 1954, since that amendment was passed, have backed out of culture and backed away from speaking the truth, preaching the whole gospel of God.
Mm. Couple interesting things on this. Freedom Pulpit Sunday, I believe it's called, in the fall. Last year, more than 800 churches blatantly spoke out about candidates' positions on abortion, homosexual marriage, and everything else, and sent their sermon to the IRS and said, come sue us. Not once has the IRS sued.
Nobody's tax-exempt status has been revoked.
No, and most legal beagles, if you will, know that the IRS would lose that war, and it would de facto end the Johnson Amendment. So even the IRS realizes it has no constitutional standing for this thing. Am I for repealing the Johnson Amendment? Yes, but I want to kind of equate this to Obamacare for a minute, believe it or not. Now, you're wondering, what in the world does this have to do with Obamacare?
I'm waiting for the connection.
Obamacare was overall a disaster, but it did a couple of good things.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that it helped was people who had pre-existing health conditions could now get insurance. So I'm all for the repeal of Obamacare, but I want to see what it's replaced with. And I think the Johnson Amendment, the same thing, too. I think if the Congress does this, if they repeal the Johnson Amendment and the president signs it, I want to see the details. I want to make sure we're not gaining something small and losing something big. I think the key issue, and Dave, you pointed out wonderfully in the books you've written, The Cost of Our Silence and other books, is that the Constitution automatically gives religious organizations tax-exempt status. The Johnson Amendment hindered that. So the Johnson Amendment contradicts the Constitution. It takes away a freedom.
Yes, it was an unconstitutional bill that was passed, a law that was passed, but it was enacted because it had no review, no legislative hearing, because he shrewdly, Lyndon B. Johnson, slipped it in when they were debating at the time a massive tax code overhaul bill. The Johnson Amendment has very little to do with finances and money.
Yeah.
It has to do with free speech. And so this is an amazing thing that's been happening since 1954. But the point is, Mike, and you made it clearly as well, pastors can speak about whatever they want to speak about because, my Bible says we must obey God rather than man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the law doesn't say don't ever mention Jesus. You know, so we've confused all this, but at now, by this point, even, and I'm for repealing the Johnson Amendment. By the way, our website, my personal website, because I've written about the Johnson Amendment. The hits went through the roof when Donald Trump mentioned repealing the Johnson Amendment in June of last year, because people started Googling Johnson Amendment, and my site was one that came up. Standing for the Truth came up. So I'm thankful that there are people that are they're wanting to repeal it. But the bottom line is, we should be talking about these issues, right? Because every political issue is a moral issue, particularly what are so-called social issues, because the Bible has a lot to say about life in the womb. It has murder. It has a lot to say about adultery, homosexuality, fornication, marriage. Jesus defined it and went one step further and said, what God has joined together, let no man separate. So just after Jesus quoted Genesis in the Old Testament, he added that. So you're coming against God when you are separating one man and one woman, that holy covenant of marriage. You are coming against God. And that's what's going on. America is coming against God right now, trying to separate the covenant of marriage, one man and one woman.
Yeah. And you know, Dave,
but I don't have any strong feelings.
No, other than that, you have no opinions. Laws tend to be passed, let's even assume with a good intention, but they tend to expand over time. And one example is the Environmental Protection Agency. It was established, I believe, back in the 1960s.
I thought it was Jimmy Carter, wasn't it?
Maybe it was Carter. Yeah. It could be my second mistake today. Uh-oh. Holy man, I'm getting old. But anyway, it was never intended to have the overreach it has today.
Oh, my goodness, the regulation.
I have a friend who is building a home north of Green Bay, and they had a lot picked out, and it had a little pond on it, like 6-inch deep water, and the DNR came in and told him he couldn't disrupt it, the EPA. I mean, the EPA has grown way beyond its scope. And I think the Johnson Amendment has done the same thing. For example, pastors, the Johnson Amendment does not prevent you from standing up at a pulpit and saying, Hillary Clinton believes this about a marriage and abortion, and Donald Trump believes this. The only thing it restricts you from doing is endorsing a candidate from the pulpit. But we've allowed this boogeyman to really back us into a corner and have us just wringing our hands. And the other point I would say, if you're more worried about your finances as a church than you are speaking the word of God, maybe you shouldn't be a pastor.
Get out of the ministry. Go start a corporation.
There you go.
Because if you're running your church like a corporation, show me in the Bible how that's biblical.
Yeah. So anyway, so it'll be interesting to see what Donald Trump does. And I don't think it's a priority. I do have to say, like this guy or not, he's doing what he said he was going to do.
So far, however, there's one, and we don't have time to get into it. I just did see an article over at ChristianNews.net, and I'm disappointed. If we're going to say he's doing some good things, we're going to talk about things we're concerned about. And one of the things is that the Trump administration is supposedly, according to a statement on their website, they're going to keep intact an Obama order on homosexual transgender protections, and the word oppression is involved. And, of course, you know the new definition of oppression. Right.
Yeah.
Now, violence against anybody, I am absolutely, and we are absolutely opposed to violence or bullying, no matter who is being bullied. But when you start using the word discrimination and oppression and getting laws behind it, look out, because you know the LGBT will take that to an extreme that wasn't originally intended.
And perhaps we can discuss that article with Jillian Appling, our guest tomorrow.
That'd be
pretty good. So, excellent. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show and tell you about our guest tomorrow.
Have a question for Mike? Email him anytime at comments@standupforthetruth.com. We'll wrap up Stand Up For The Truth in a moment. We're getting ready to wrap up this edition of the show, but the discussion is just beginning. More info on today's topics and much more can be found on standupforthetruth.com. Now, here's Mike LeMay with some final thoughts.
Well, tomorrow, as we mentioned, we are joined by Jillian Appling of Wisconsin Family Action. We'll get her reaction to the Supreme Court nominee of Donald Trump. And also, what is the legislative agenda in Wisconsin in 2017? Also, we're going to share what we've learned and what we're learning about Neil Gorsuch, who is Donald Trump's Supreme Court nominee, what legal opinions he'd be involved in, what's his philosophy, what's his faith. So we're gonna scour the news lines here a little bit and give you as much information we can about Neil Gorsuch, who is Donald Trump's Supreme Court nominee. We're also going to talk about the fact that will Democrats filibuster? and what are the what happens there. And we're going to talk about something called the nuclear option, which one Harry Reid put in, and it may come back to bite him right in the nose. So anyway, Ghislaine Appling tomorrow, and we'll talk about Judge Neil Gorsuch. For David Fiorazzo, Mike LeMay, Standing Up for the Truth, thank you so much for joining us. Remember, you can text us anytime. Text TRUTH to 797979. We'll read your comment on air. Be bold, strong, and unashamed of the gospel. The Lord your God is always with you.